Skip Paul putters around in one of his greenhouses at Wishing Stone Farm in Little Compton. He owns this 62-acre farm with his wife and son. He's sealed off the bottom of a long wooden shelf with plastic. He rolls it up to reveal a bunch of tomato seedlings.
This is called the recovery room. We're looking into this little dark box that we've built where the temperature is about 80 degrees.
The tomatoes are recovering from a process called grafting. Paul does it by making a slice on each of the tomato plants and wrapping them together where they were cut. This technique combines the plants to improve flavor and protect against diseases.
And so this is the first stage of its recovery after that guillotined technique. And so that's what we're looking at right now.
Unlike these tomato plants, Paul's farm hasn't had to do any recovery despite the recession. He says business has remained steady, thanks in part to a strong local food culture in Rhode Island and a growing market for organic food more generally. Paul is also known as a tinkerer with farming methods. He uses a system of greenhouses that produces more food into the winter.
We build greenhouses inside greenhouses. So the greenhouse that we own, the big greenhouse, is one cover, and then inside that we build two other covers and build smaller, progressively smaller houses.
It takes work to set up, but they'll trap more heat from the sun in the wintertime, cutting down electricity costs and extending the growing season. Unlike the Great Depression, when many farmers lost everything, Paul and other farmers in this region were relatively insulated from the recession. Paul thinks the September 11 terrorist attacks and the droughts out west have helped reinforce the interest in supporting locally grown food. And Wishing Stone Farm has been around since 1981.
I think we're pretty fortunate, you know, having been at it for 30 years.
Paul thinks that longevity is a big reason his farm has been resilient to the economy's ebbs and flows.
Where we sit, to the markets we go to in Providence, we're mostly dealing with local people who have, you know, I'm now selling to, you know, people's grandchildren that, you know, used to come to us.
Despite his success, and despite recent improvements in the economy, Paul says business turned down a little, even as recently as last summer. Sales took a dip at local farmers markets, and Paul says he spoke to other farmers in the region who saw similar drops. The problem is not lagging interest. Paul thinks it's due to a mini boom in local farming.
Everybody's been getting it. It seems like there's been a lot of young people, which is great, are getting into farming, but that means that it's kind of watering down the local farmers market scene.
Luckily for Paul, the organics industry has also grown 20% nationally each year for the past 7 to 10 years, according to industry experts. Most of what he grows on his farm is organic, and about a third of the farm's income comes from selling to Whole Foods Market.
They put up so many new stores that they can't find enough produce to stock the stores with. So wherever we kind of find lack of sales on a direct basis at our farmers markets, it seems to be the slack seems to be taken up by Whole Foods and some of the other businesses.
Local nonprofit Farm Fresh Rhode Island has also helped. That nonprofit makes it easy for Paul and other farmers to sell to home cooks through a subscription program called Community Supported Agriculture, or CSA. Farmers can also connect with restaurants on the organization's website.
When I put stuff on their website to sell my vegetables, I can sell to, you know, esoteric restaurants north of Boston all the way down to Stonington, Connecticut, because they'll deliver that for us. We can get it to them, so it's an amazing program.
In this greenhouse at Wishing Stone Farm, right above the shelf that Paul calls the recovery room, sits a bowl full of black sunflower seeds that are just about to sprout. He dips his hand to swirl the seeds around the bowl.
Well, I actually let a little white root come out, about a quarter inch.
Eventually, the sunflower seeds will grow a few inches of greens, and then Paul will harvest them.
We'll cut them and we'll put them in salads. It's actually a sunflower sprout. It has an amazing crunchy, alfalfa sprouts and mung bean sprouts were popular for years, but the flavor in a sunflower sprout is just twice as flavorful.
He sells these trendy seedlings, known as microgreens, to local restaurants and at farmers markets. The farm also produces more familiar specialty items, like honey from its beehives and eggs from its pasture-fed hens. Paul says, for food, this is the best of times and this is the worst of times. It's easier than ever to get your hands on junk food, but Paul thinks there hasn't been a better time to access good quality food than today. He's weathered the recession without major losses, so he'll keep growing and keep tinkering, hoping that innovation will continue to insulate his family farm from future ups and downs of the economy. Ámbar Espinosa, Rhode Island Public Radio.